You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. It is a Thursday edition of the show, but not our last episode of the week, as we have another one coming up on Friday. But we are going to talk about everything that we saw and heard from during today's session at the NFL Combine. That's right, Pewter Report is still in Indianapolis, as we spoke to a variety of defensive backs, both at corner and safety. Very Georgia-driven today. Go Dawgs. We'll talk about some of the Georgia players that the Bucs were speaking to as well, and get into the tight ends, which could be a situation that the Bucs find themselves adding a new player from that draft class. So, I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is my fellow colleague from PewterReport.com, Bailey Adams. We are doing a substitution, much like the Bucks benching Joe Tryon-Shoyinka and putting in Yaya Diaby. We are benching Josh Capo. We actually kicked him to the curb. We said, get out of town. We don't even want to be near you. Please take the first flight home. And bringing in Bailey Adams. Bailey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Should we clarify? No, we can just leave it there. We did. We kicked Josh to the curb.
That's yes. What we did. Yeah, he is, as we used to do on the show all the time, he is suspended until further notice. And he's suspended at least for 2 months. Wink, wink. We'll get back into that in just a moment. But before we talk about some of the tight ends and defensive backs and everything like that, by the way, shout out to all the Pewter people that are joining us for today's show. Some other Bucs news that went on. We'll start with the retired Buccaneer because he gets talked about no matter what. Yeah. Tom Brady ran the 40-yard dash
blazing speed.
And it's so funny, Bailey, because earlier in this week, I was thinking, and maybe I said it aloud and no one listened, is that the fact that Noble is sponsoring the Combine, you see all the players wearing their Noble t-shirts and things of that nature, it would make sense for Tom to either be at the Combine or do some type of marketing campaign, because he did merge TB12 with Noble. And lo and behold, he did. 24 years later, after he infamously ran the 40-yard dash, and even more famously had that picture of him during the measurements and everything like that, which was famously worn by the Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl at the boat parade after Vita Vea had it on, Kevin Minter, guys like that. Tom Brady ran the 40-yard dash again and had a better time and what is he now, 46 years old, than he did back when he was at 22. I believe his time was 5.18, which, hey, I hope 24 years from now I'm able to run a faster 40-yard dash.
Probably faster than I can run it now, and I'm 25, so. Believe it or not, I was listening earlier this week when you mentioned Tom Brady and something with the Combine this week. So yeah, he did run the 40 today and beat his 22-year-old self, which was a sight to behold. I mean, Tom Brady, we saw him in Tampa. He was a scrambling king. As John Ledyard posted in that story back in 2021. I found it today, and a scrambling king after that 10-yard run he had against the Giants in Monday Night Football. But Yeah.
We used to joke that he was a dual threat quarterback. He actually had 81 rushing yards in the 2021 season, had over 1,000 rushing yards in his NFL career, and 7 career rushing touchdowns with the Buccaneers, 6 in the regular season and 1 in the postseason as well. But it just shows Tom Brady, even when he's retired, anytime he does an athletic event, people talk about
moves
it,
the needle.
People watch it. Yes, he does move the needle. And it was kind of fun to just reminisce a little bit real quickly about Brady and his time in Tampa Bay. So that was fun to see, a fun little video. You can check it out on PeterReport.com as well. The other little bit of Bucs news that doesn't necessarily pertain to the draft at the moment. Star linebacker, and yes, I'm saying star linebacker. I did not mince words there. Lavonte David was on Good Morning Football, kind of talking about free agency and what that situation is looking like at the moment, Bailey. And from what he was saying, I know Bucs fans want Lavonte David back in Tampa Bay. Odds are probably a good chance that it's going to happen. But the way he was talking about, I still got more in me. Does that mean he might be playing for more than just next season?
I don't know. I think we can kind of put to bed the rest, or put to bed the idea that he might be retiring, because he kind of did. I know there were some rumblings early in the offseason where it kind of seemed like, oh, people were saying on Instagram he was hinting toward retirement. But this quote itself says, you know, he's ready to go. He says, man, I'm ready to play. I still feel like I've got a lot left in me. Still going to give it a shot. I'm going to let my body tell me when it's time to give up and when it's time to let it go. But right now I feel pretty good. I have a lot of confidence. Especially after the season we just had, I've been hearing a lot of praise and stuff like that. For a guy like me up there in age, I like to hear that. So it definitely gives me confidence to keep it going. So I know, you know, he's been doing 1-year deals. He might do maybe another 1-year deal. But, you know, maybe he does have 2 years left in him. Who knows? He'll continue to play and try to beat Father Time, much like Tom Brady did.
Yeah, and it kind of takes me back to what Rondé Barber, former teammate of Lavonte David, what Rondé was saying last week on the Jay and Z show on WDAE, where he said Lavonte should kind of go the way I'm not saying this like word for word, but verbatim what he was kind of saying was that for Rondé at the end of his own career, he wanted to keep going back to the Bucs, but he just signed 1-year deal after 1-year deal because it worked best for him. It kind of worked for the Bucs, obviously. So when Rondé did want to retire, that was it. Like, he didn't have to worry about money being allocated and in different situations. And it kind of sounds like that's what Lavonte David wants to do as well, where he's not going to be tied down to anything or any commitment that he has to do further than one season, but you can still get the right price, the right deal that he wants to do season by season. Now, there was a little miscommunication, I guess. That's probably not even the right word, but something that David had said about not talking with the Buccaneers, but Jason Light also has opened the lines of communication. So we should probably just clarify that.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, when we spoke to Jason Light, he had said, you know, we started conversations with Mike Baker, Lavonte, Antoine, Tristan. And, you know, he said, I think those talks are going well, but Lavonte David said communication hasn't really started up yet or nothing like that. But throughout the season and exit meetings, we all expressed how we feel about one another. And he says they would love for him to be back. He would love to be back as well. And he kind of gave a similar line to what he's been saying about, you know, you never know, but he does want to be back. He wants to retire a Buck. And it could have been, you know, him saying communication hasn't really started up yet. When he says hasn't really started up yet, maybe it means it hasn't progressed that far yet. It could have been something as simple as the Buck saying, hey, you know, you're important to us. We want you back. We've got to get these other ones done first. It kind of like they've done in past years. And I would be really, really surprised to see him sign anywhere else. And I know he talked about that possibility and said, there's possibilities. Like, you can never say never. He said, I know there's probably the fact that somebody else can come swoop me up, but he's open to all options, but he would love to finish his career in Tampa. So I wouldn't be too worried about Lavonte playing elsewhere. I think he will be back in Tampa again.
Yeah, to pretty much paraphrase everything, it's like the Bucs are saying, we love you, Lavonte. We're going to take care of you and have you back with the Bucs. But in order to sign you, we have to take care. We have to connect the dots with Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, and Antoine Winfield Jr. And, you know, maybe an extension with Tristan Wirfs as well. But we have to connect those dots first in order to bring you into the fold and into the puzzle as well. And obviously, that's a puzzle that Lavonte David wants to be a part of, because the Bucs, let's remember, made it to the second round of the playoffs last year. So they are much closer to competing for a title than they are plummeting and competing for a top five draft pick. So that's just some of your updated news surrounding the Bucks as a team. Tom Brady, that's separate, but you know, it's Tom Brady, so kind of the exception to the rule. Bailey, let's talk about the tight ends and that position group. Who we spoke to today, kind of what we heard. And also, let's just kind of give our thoughts about the Bucks tight end room as well. How do you view it? What do you want to see or how it should improve? Or just your overall thoughts?
I think there's definitely, you know, 100% they need to add there.
Yeah.
How they do that, I'm not 100% sure right now. I know Kate Otten has been, I think, you know, for a fourth round pick, he's done a lot. With that draft status, but I don't know that he's a true number one. I think he's valuable, and I think he would be even more valuable as a number two. Like, that's a very strong number two tight end. Whether they go out and sign a veteran in free agency, whether it's a cheap one-year deal, however they decide to go about that, they could do that, or they could go the draft route. I know they have quite a few needs they might address, but they talked to a few guys here in Indianapolis. I almost said Mobile.
Yeah.
Indianapolis. at the combine.
Saw some
so
of these
far.
Guys in Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah. And three formal meetings and then some more informal meetings. I think I wouldn't classify it as, and it'll probably depend on what they do in free agency. If they go out and sign a veteran, this is not going to be, you know, maybe even a day one or two draft. It'll probably be a
for
day
sure.
three draft need. If they don't sign one and they go into the draft with Kate Otten, with Ko Kieft, with Payne Durham as their three, you might kind of see them go maybe a day, a second round, third round pick on day two, go the tight end route. And it'll be interesting because we talked to Coach Bowles, we talked to Jason Light on Tuesday.
Yes.
And they talked a lot, both of them at different points brought up Payne Durham and said,
they
we expect
did.
Payne to take a step forward and be a red zone threat. He's a big bodied guy. That's kind of what, when they drafted him, it was, you know, that's somebody who'd be valuable in the red zone. We didn't see it really much in his rookie season. And, you know, they're always going to kind of pump up their guys. I think they're going to throw some of that out there at this time of the year and say, you know what, we're good with who we have. And then, you know, they'll go a different route in the draft, throwing teams off the scent. But definitely think they need to add there. And there are some interesting guys to talk to today.
Absolutely. Well, we'll mention them in just a moment. The Payne Durham thing is interesting because the whole talk last year and even right now is the Bucks have a young tight end room. And when I hear that and when I think about it, that kind of makes me want the Bucs to sign a veteran tight end. Gerald Everett is a guy that has worked with Liam Cohen going back to the Los Angeles Rams. Because if you're banking on or hoping for Payne Durham to kind of take a step forward, that's all fine and dandy. But unless he becomes like a true receiving threat or an elite run blocker or things of that nature – if you're banking on Payne Durham taking another step and you draft another tight end in this year's class, well, you're just kind of keeping the same idea system of a very young tight end room. And Kate Otten, while we like, is definitely way more suited to be a tight end too. But I'm fine with having two tight ends that probably are overall second strings, but you have two solid second stringers. Mold it together, you get an average tight end.
I kind of go back to something that Jason Light said on Tuesday. He said, you know, talking about the tight end room, they need a compliment there. He talked about Kate. He said, we need a compliment. I think Kate is the compliment.
I think they need a
number one.
I agree.
They need a number one tight end. And you know, however that comes, we'll see. And I think I do kind of agree with you. You know, they have a very young group as it is. You know, Kate Otten's going into his third year, so he's not so young anymore. But I think it'll be interesting to see what they do there because they could add a little bit of a veteran presence to kind of carry them into 2024.
So there were three formal meetings that the Bucks had with tight end players. It was Florida State tight end Jaheim Bell, Washington tight end Devin Culp. We'll have more about him in just a moment. And Ohio State tight end Cade Stover. Some of the informal interviews they had, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, Theo Johnson from Penn State, Minnesota's Brevin Spanford, who is quite familiar with Ko Kieft. Yeah. Once again, a lot of Bucks presences across the board, both at safety and tight end, of course. And Iowa's Eric Aul, which was in Scott Reynolds' Bucks seven-round mock draft, the 2.0. So Iowa tight ends in the NFL just seem to be fantastic. So that's pretty cool to see. Before we talk about some of the Washington tight ends that know Cade Otton, what I will say about Shaheem Bell, I found it quite interesting. He had a formal and informal interview with the Buccaneers, so certainly on their radar in more ways than one. He is very much a receiving tight end. There were some talks about, like, are you going to play wide receiver or tight end? He talked a lot about his explosiveness as a receiver, pretty good at yards after the catch. Now, at the Senior Bowl, I wasn't too impressed. I don't think he necessarily lit it up, but he can kind of play that that fullback role as well, which the Bucs like to do. They use it with Coe Keeft of, yes, he's a tight end, but he'll line up in the backfield. I understand it from, yes, the Bucs need a run-blocking tight end, but they need like a true receiving threat tight end as well. Cade Otton can come up in the clutch. He can make the big plays, Bailey, when he's wide open. Yeah. But he struggles pretty heavily with the contested catch. So if the Bucs are really looking, trying to do an air raid or something like that, Jaheim Bell is certainly a way more interesting pick. But if they want to get physical and kind of commit to that ground game, I don't know if Jaheim Bell is necessarily the guy. The other formal interview, Kate Stover out of Ohio State, his story is super, super interesting. For half his career at Ohio State, he was a linebacker. He was a linebacker, and then all of a sudden they had a shortage at tight end, and they said, hey, can you move over and play tight end? And he did, because he is the ultimate team guy. So a certain versatility there in ways that maybe the Bucs didn't expect. But hey, I mean, we saw what happened last year. Ryan Neal had to play linebacker in that game when there were some injuries. So if they were to take a guy like Stover, maybe he can go and and play linebacker.
That'd be two Cades at tight end as well.
Yeah, I said that in the Pewter Report group chat. Can you imagine two Cades at tight end? But Bailey, you spoke to Devin Culp and then another Washington tight end as well. And there is a fair amount of familiarity with one Cade Otton.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they all come from Washington. And I talked to Devin Culp and Jack Westover. Jack Westover has not met with the Bucs in Indy. Devin Culp said he's another one like Jaheim Bell, who's met formally and informally with the Bucs. And I talked to both of them about, you know, Cade Otton, about some of the Huskies that are on the Bucs roster as it is. We know how much the Bucs love to draft, and even they signed Greg Gaines last year, another Washington player. But Devin Culp called Cade Otton his big brother and said he got to watch and play with Cade for a long time. And he said that, you know, he went through some tough times, and Cade was always the first person to shoot me a text or give me a hug or just check on me mentally. So I've got nothing but the utmost respect for Cade. And Westover is an interesting one. I know he didn't meet formally with the Bucs or informally. He comes from a basketball background. He was a basketball player, only played two games of football in high school.
Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, going that route. Jimmy Graham.
He was talking kind of about, you know, he was asked, he said he did translate his basketball background kind of to the field as far as the pass catching and all that. But he was asked about his blocking and kind of, you know, how that process went along. And he said, I think all tight ends, when they get to college, no tight end knows how to block, he said. So you're at a base level with everybody else. And he said he had guys to learn from. And Drew Sample, Cade Otton, Hunter Bryant. And then he talked a little bit more about Cade and said that, you know, they were super close and that Cade could have been a guy who was kind of on his own thing. I guess he's on the NFL path, so he could have been, you know, on his own, done his own thing, he said. But he always took the time to help out the younger guys. For me, it was really beneficial. He was just a guy you wanted to watch and see how he operated, and said he's someone I want to model my game after for sure, because these guys have a lot of respect for Cade, I think, as a person and as well as a player. And we've heard all that, I think, about Cade, you know, even leading into the draft, you know, back in 2022 and after they drafted him, what a great person he was. And then I talked to Culp. Culp had a little bit more to say about, you know, the possibility of joining his former Washington teammates in Tampa. And he said, you know, he was close with Joe Tryon Schwenka as well. I said they spent a lot of time together. And he said whenever he wanted a laugh, he would go hang out with Joe, because he said he's kind of a jokester. And then he said he was his freshman year, his locker mate was Greg Gaines. And said that Greg's always been very, very kind to him as well. And doesn't really, I mean, obviously Vita Vea was before his time in Washington, but said he's always heard good things about Vita Vea as well as a leader. And, you know, said he always shows love to the dogs that come down from Washington to Tampa. So really interesting to talk to both of those guys, because they had a lot to say about, you know, especially Cade Otton, but also, you know, the Bucs Washington contingent.
Yeah, the Washington pipeline is strong and could be even stronger after this draft. Let's hear a little bit more from Jack Westover and Devin Culp.
Yeah, me and Cade were super, super close. You know, he helped me a ton. He was a great leader for me. And, you know, I think for him, you know, he could have been a guy that, you know, kind of just pushed everybody to the side because he was kind of, you know, doing his own, you know, he could have done his own thing. But he, you know, he always took the time to, you know, help the younger guys out. And for me, it was really beneficial. He was just a guy that, you know, you wanted to watch and see how he operated, and someone I really want to model my game after for sure.
Man, it'd be a big blessing. I know that Tampa likes their dogs, and to be reunited with, you know, Joe and Cade would be amazing. And Greg Gaines was also like a big brother to me as well. We were actually locker mates in 2018, my freshman year, and Greg's always been super cool towards me. So it'd be nice to, you know, get to reunite with all those guys. And I've always heard nothing but great things about Vita Van and the type of leader he is and the type of love that he shows to the dogs if they ever come into Tampa. So I'd be excited to be a part of that and experience that with them.
Now, Cade Otton wasn't the only current Buccaneers tight end that was getting a shout out from some of the prospects that we spoke to at the Combine today. Minnesota tight end Brevin Spann-Ford actually has a pretty good relationship with Co Kieft, to the point that early on, and when he was up at the podium, kind of unprompted, he was talking about his pathway to Minnesota and how he wouldn't be as successful as he was for the Golden Gophers if it wasn't for a veteran presence like Co Kieft to help pave the way for him. Then he spoke a little bit more about Co Kieft and the teammate that he was and how he views Co Kieft as well. You can hear his words for it to believe what he actually said.
Coming into from high school, I was a high school wide receiver. So when I first got to school, it was kind of a whirlwind for me. You know, having to learn all the blocking techniques and things like that. But I had great guys around me. Buccaneers Co Kieft, you know, he's one of the guys that, you know, he's making his way in the NFL right now. He was a senior leader for me, and you know, I took a lot from him. And those guys, and Colton Beebe, Jake Paulson, Bryce Witham, they were older guys in my room that really kind of reinforced, you know, the type of tight ends we have to be for not only for our offense but within the conference.
How cool is it to see Co Kieft playing at the NFL level, contributing on offense? And what was he like as a teammate? I know you just mentioned a little bit of what he did.
It's awesome seeing him, you know, compete with the Buccaneers. You know, just having, you know, a near and dear friend of me doing so well in the NFL, it's awesome. He's a great person off the field as well. We create a relationship over our years at Minnesota together. You know, got nothing but love for him. He's doing great, and I look forward to seeing him soon.
What's the thing he used to say, big man gotta eat, something like that?
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of different sayings. You know, I just know him as, you know, he's a big angry ginger. So he's a beast, man.
A big angry ginger. That's how
Bucks like those.
Yes, they like a good amount of big angry gingers. And you can kind of tell by the way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spann-Ford was talking about Co. I mean, obviously, he thinks Co is a funny guy if he's going to call him something like that. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit more because Co Kieft, he's got two career touchdowns, way more of a blocker than he is a receiver now. And he is for sure expendable at his position. But there are some guys that you keep around because they are important in the locker room. They're the glue guys that kind of make a team. And I think Co Kieft might fall into that category just a little bit. But anyway, I thought that was a funny soundbite, so I want to make sure that we shared it with the Peter people.
One thing about that, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Cade and just their relationships to some of these guys, and it gives you a sense of the type of people that the Bucks look to draft. You know, they are very big on character, on captains, on leaders, and on just, you know, good people. That's something they've been really, really big on over the last few years. And you can kind of see it by the way these guys talk about them. And I mean, I know Bucks fans know already with some of these guys what they do in the community and just kind of their personalities off the field. They already are well aware of that. But it's there's a certain type of person that fits with what the Bucks culture has turned into.
And there's going to be a little bit of newness to this Bucks culture because there's a couple of new coaches on the staff. Liam Cohen, obviously the offensive coordinator, and a new wide receivers coach as well with Brian McClendon, who's been to a couple of different places in college football, and Georgia was one of them where, you know, he's part of the passing game for sure. The biggest name that was up at the podium today, I think more than any position, whether it was cornerback, safety, or tight end, was Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. I mean, the amount of people that were up at his podium, I think, was larger than anything we've seen so far at this NFL Combine. And Adam Slavon was able to get Brock Bowers' thoughts on Brian McClendon, who he got to work with at Georgia, who will now be working with the Buccaneers.
Say about Brian McClendon and the job that he's going to do in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll do great. He was awesome at Georgia. I mean, I loved having him around, and he helped out a lot.
And, of course, another big name that Bucs fans should be paying attention to, not just because he went to Kansas State, and we know Peter reports Scott Reynolds is a Wildcat alum, but Ben Sinnott was in the first Peter Report mock draft, would be a very nice fit for Tampa Bay. As we mentioned earlier, met informally with the Bucs, and Scott caught up with him, got his thoughts about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and just kind of what he brings to the NFL level.
So, Ben, have you met with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I've met with the Tampa Bay informally and then a bunch of the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How'd those meetings go?
They went really good. I'm really liking what I'm hearing. They seem like great people from my interactions, so I'm really looking forward to just continuing that communication.
Can you talk about your versatility, not just being an inline tight end, but somebody that can be a move tight end, H-back, a fullback, and playing a lot of roles?
Yeah, I think my versatility is really my separator in this class. Just being able to do so many different roles and being trusted with so many responsibilities, I think it really helps me. I think that's my difference maker for sure. So I think it only makes me more valuable, and I'm more than happy to kind of do anything for a team. So
you were able to break a lot of tackles, slip a lot of tackles, hurdle lot of would-be tacklers. What is it about your ability to get yards after the catch?
Yeah, I mean, every time I catch a ball, I want to score. I want to run through a dude or go over him if I can. I think it comes to that mindset of wanting to get in the paint every time you touch the ball and just wanting to extend the play for your team.
Did you play with the Cowboys this week?
Sorry.
If the Bucs were to draft this man, I know Scott would be pretty happy about it. He'd be pretty pumped up. And I think the excitement he would bring would kind of be the same amount of energy and excitement that Scott would get from chugging a Celsius energy drink, which, of course, is the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Make sure you check out the new line of Celsius energy drinks that they have, which is the Celsius Essentials. They got the Blue Crush, which is awesome. The Dragonberry is fantastic as well. So if you need to know where to find some of the Celsius Essentials, which are the tall boys, or maybe it's some of the old school flavors, the Sparkling Orange, the Tropical Vibe, the Arctic Vibe, go to the Celsius store locator like we've been doing while we're here in Indianapolis. Punch in your address and it'll tell you the closest location where you can go pick one up. Could be a Walmart, a 7-Eleven, a health and fitness store, or maybe, if you're lucky, it could be your
bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you want to start buying it in bulk so you can get more, you can. I'd recommend getting that variety pack. Head on over to Amazon, do the subscribe and save, and you can have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge of it. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. And joining us on the show now will be Scott Reynolds and Adam Slavon.
Yeah, busy day today. We got a chance to do a little offense and a little defense. Matt and Bailey were talking about the tight ends, and one of those guys, Ben Sinnott, I'm very familiar with, I haven't watched Kansas State football. He would be one of those guys, I think, that would be a nice fit to maybe replace a Co-Kieft. You know, it's someone who could play fullback, play tight end, an H-back role, if you will, and also catch the ball and really be kind of a complete tight end, and probably a mid-round pick. I don't see
Tampa Bay drafting a tight end early. That might rule out Cade Stover, who's one of the players that they did interview and meet with formally and informally. So there was some interest there in Stover, who's a really good tight end. But at the same time, I think they're probably looking day three. I know that they've got a collection of day three guys from Cade Otton in the fourth round, Co-Kieft, Payne Durham. So they're probably going to draft another guy like that, but maybe they can get a guy that's a little bit more complete.
Yeah, you mentioned Sinnott, and I just see it being a great Bucks fit, not just a Kansas State connection, but his skill set. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier. A lot of the top rushing offenses in the league, when you look at the 49ers, the Dolphins, they have a fullback. Yep. And Co-Kieft, he did okay as a rookie, but last year he's really one-dimensional. Right. And he wasn't an exceptional blocker. And I think Ben Sinnott could offer that versatility where you have that H-back, somebody that can go and block and create lanes for Rashad White. And then pairing that, having the potential to be a number one tight end, or at least a great complement to Cade Otton. That could be another element that the offense is missing. And with Sinnott in particular, he kind of checks the bill as like that fourth round, fifth round guy.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing too, with Co-Kieft, it just became so telling. They force fed him three targets in that season opener and didn't catch any of them. Now he did catch a touchdown pass to his credit this year, but really was not used as a receiver at all. He's really a tell, right? When he's on the field, it's pretty much a tell to the opposing defenses that it's going to be a run play. And that's predictable. And you really can't have that if you want to show your hand, you know, and you've got a great running attack and saying, yeah, we brought our blocking tight end in and get ready for it. Then that's okay. But the Buccaneers don't have that stout running game where it doesn't matter if you know it's coming or not, because you're not going to be able to stop it. Tampa Bay's running game could be stopped and stopped often. Yeah. So I think having a guy on the field, whether it becomes Payne Durham and he becomes a better blocker this year, if Otton becomes bigger and becomes a better blocker, they draft a guy like Sinnott or maybe a Cade Stover that has some blocking ability, maybe even Devin Culp from Washington. Mm-hmm. Then you're not getting into that predictable personnel grouping.
Yeah, and I think if you draft a rookie tight end, whether that's Sinnott, whether that's Culp or Stover, there's a lot of upside there. You mentioned Payne Durham being that 6'6", 260-pound guy and being a red zone threat. You kind of have a flavor of each archetype at tight end.
Right.
You have Cade Otton, who's maybe a little bit more down the seam, a little more vertical. Durham is a red zone guy, and then having a kind of do it all, whether it's catching or blocking in either Sinnott or Stover. So it's really interesting to see if the Bucs choose to go with the tight end and who it might be.
Yeah. Now let's switch gears a little bit. Look at the defensive side, because the lead today, of course, was the Georgia Bulldogs that the Tampa Bay interviewed, and not just interviewed, but formally. So here's a list of the formal players that they interviewed from the defensive backfield. And this is a pretty good representation of two out of the three Georgia Bulldogs. We're looking at Javon Bullard, the safety, number 22, and Kamari Lassiter, number 3, the cornerback. And Bullard and Tyke Smith both played in the slot. They both played some free and some strong safety. They were kind of interchangeable in that Georgia secondary. And I think that's part of the appeal, because Todd Bowles likes to be able to have Antoine Winfield Jr. play center field as a free safety, move him into the box. We've seen him play man up in the slot before. Not as effective there, but certainly can do it in a pinch if there's a favorable matchup there in Tampa Bay's, you know, a favorite, if he wants to match him up mano a mano on a slot receiver or a tight end. And so having versatile guys like some of these Georgia Bulldogs can really help out Todd Bowles' defense. And he kind of has a little insight into Georgia, does he not?
Yeah, and when you look at Javon Bullard in particular, I remember him being someone at the Senior Bowl, and you have Tyler Newbin and Cameron Kitchens are maybe the two top safeties in the draft class, but Javon Bullard on day two, whether that's maybe round 3 or 4, he could be an option for the Bucs to consider. And when you look at some of the formal and informal meetings that the Bucs have had it looks like safety maybe isn't the biggest need for them, as they didn't formally meet with Newbin or Kitchens.
Yeah.
But they met with some guys further down the board. Another guy was Bo Braid, and he said that he spoke with the Bucks informally, and he had some nice things to say. He said that the Bucks are already a great defense, and they really know what they're doing. And it whether they go with a guy on day two, it seems like they want to get a guy who can complement Antoine Winfield Jr. and, as you said, be another chess piece in that defense.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned Javon Bullard. This is what Javon Bullard had to say. And the key thing about the affinity that they might have, remember a couple of years ago in 2022, the Buccaneers were very high on Lewis Cine, his safety out of Georgia, and might have drafted him over Logan Hall had he been there. But the Minnesota Vikings traded up into the bottom of the first round at number 32 to select Lewis Cine. That left Logan Hall on the board for the Buccaneers to start the second round. So this is what Javon Bullard had to say. By the way, Todd Bowles' son, Troy Bowles, is a linebacker at Georgia. So there's certainly some other connections there for Bucks head coach Todd Bowles.
Ears always perk up when you know you listen to the last thing.
So speaking of blitzing, Todd Bowles and the Bucks blitz a lot, and they could be using in need of another safety. Can you talk a little bit about potentially playing for the Bucks and playing with Antoine Winfield Jr.?
Oh, man, I was just talking about the guy, man. One of those players I've definitely grown to love. I mean, the guy is not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, but he's a football player. And at this level, man, that's all you want. You want a football player. The guy's a football player. He's an all-pro safety. And he plays the game so well, man. One of the guys that I look up to for sure, and model my game after for sure.
What was it like to get to talk to them?
It was amazing. Dream come true. Yeah. Man, I'm like a kid at a candy store, man. Like, I'm talking to head coaches, you know, the GM, shaking hands with guys that, you know, I wouldn't dream of seeing.
What'd you talk about with Todd Bowles?
Just everything, man. His son. You know, shout out my boy Troy, man. But just everything, man. It was more so me. Showcasing my skill set, my mental abilities, and my football IQ, and them getting to know me as off the field as well as home, and it was amazing, man.
So the thing about Javon Bullard is he played 3 years at Georgia, and compactly built guys. You saw there about 5'11", 195 pounds, 3.5 sacks, 4 interceptions. So he's a splashy player. 8 pass breakups and a fumble recovery. And I think he would be a great addition to Tampa Bay because he has the ability to play in the box with that frame and make some plays near the line of scrimmage, do some underneath coverage, but also has some range, I think, and the 40-yard dash time will be key just to see that long speed. But maybe also when Winfield comes down in the box, you need somebody to go back there, and we know it wasn't Brian Neal last year.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't Ryan Neal, but towards the end of the season, you did see the Bucs kind of get creative, whether that was Zion McCollum kind of playing as that deep safety, and then also Izian and Merriweather also kind of sprinkled in there. So it'll be intriguing whether the Bucs choose to maybe draft somebody to either play in the nickel and push Izian or Merriweather back to strong safety, or if they draft that strong safety and are confident enough that Izian can really hold down that nickel spot long term.
That's right. Now, there was another safety that the Buccaneers had a chance to talk to, and that was Tyke Smith, who was also at the Senior Bowl. Again, we mentioned Senior Bowl only because the Buccaneers have an affinity for drafting Senior Bowl prospects. They've drafted 5 in each of the last 2 years from the Senior Bowl, and Jay Slide has drafted at least one Senior Bowl participant in every year since he's become the general manager back in 2014. At least 2 players every year, with the exception of only 1 season. So it's definitely something that the Buccaneers really hone in on. Of course, that is kind of the creme de la creme when it comes to talent when these college all-star games. Interestingly enough, the last 2 seasons, this year and last year, neither Jason Light nor Todd Bowles was at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to find offensive coordinators.
Yeah, and when you look at the Senior Bowl in particular, it really has been like the gold mine for the Bucs.
Yeah.
Last year, pretty much all the top picks besides Kalijah Kansi were at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an avenue that the Bucs have been keeping in mind every year in the draft process.
Yeah. So here's Tyke Smith talking about his time at Georgia and also Kamari Lassiter as well.
Mikey, one head coach in the NFL that really knows how to work with defensive backs is Todd Bowles. How cool would it be to play for him, especially since you were teammates with his son, Troy?
Definitely would be amazing. I think the interview I had with them went amazing, so definitely would be a pleasure to play for them and being able to play for Tampa Bay.
Was that a formal or informal interview?
Formal.
Kamari. All right, Todd Bowles is a coach that loves working with defensive backs. How cool would it be to work with him, especially since you were teammates with his son, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be great. I've never met Coach Bowles, but, you know, I know Troy, and if Coach Bowles is anything like Troy, I know it'll be an amazing opportunity.
Did you meet with the Bucks at all?
Yes, sir, I have met with the Bucks.
Is that formal or informal?
It was formal.
How was it meeting some of the coaching staff and what they were like?
It was great. We had a great meeting. You know, we were able to just, you know, talk a lot of ball. They were able to pick my brain, you know, see what I'm like one off.
Yeah, now the interesting thing about Tyke Smith and how he differs from Javon Bullard is Bullard was a three-year player at Georgia. Tyke Smith played 5 years in college, his first two seasons at West Virginia, then the last three at Georgia. So he's got two more years worth of experience under his belt. And, of course, more statistics as a result. You're looking at 21 and a half tackles for loss, five sacks, eight interceptions, including a pick six, 12 pass breakups, and two forced fumbles. So whether it's Javon Bullard or Tyke Smith, and I think Pro Football Focus has these guys graded almost kind of neck and neck.
Yeah.
And probably that day two, day three, you know, early day three, probably second through fourth round, again, depending on testing and, you know, kind of like does one team prefer one safety over another. But I think there's a pretty decent chance Tampa Bay comes away with the Georgia defensive back, whether it's Tyke Smith, whether it's Javon Bullard, or whether it's Kamari Lassiter.
It definitely may be a new pipeline for the Bucs, with both of those prospects, given the fact that the Bucs, they went and got Brian McClendon, the receivers coach, and the familiarity that Todd Bowles has with so many of those defensive players. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles and how they're the Georgia Eagles.
Right.
Maybe it might be the Georgia Bucs pretty soon.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, that third member of the Bulldogs, remember, this is a two-time national champion we're talking about here. Yeah. Kamari Lassiter, we're talking about Javon Bullard. And Tyke Smith, all of those guys have two national championship rings under their belt. And Lassiter is a cornerback. It's interesting to note that both Smith and Bullard have some time in the slot. So there might be a situation where maybe one of those guys challenges for the nickel corner spot as well, as opposed to having some time at safety. Kamari Lassiter, 3 years there, one sack, 14 pass breakups, and an interception. He's a good cover corner. And one thing that Kirby Smart said was you look at the players that opted out of the bowl game that they were in. Kamari Lassiter could have opted out.
Yeah.
And Kirby Smart made mention of him after the game saying, this guy is a football player. He didn't want to opt out. And, you know, a lot of Florida State players opted out when they didn't make the national championship. The Georgia Bulldog players didn't. Lassiter's one of those guys that didn't just start combine training. He wanted to play one final season. Of course, it was a blowout win for Georgia.
Yeah, I think that's a great point when you talk about the bowl games and the big game experience with a lot of these players, especially the Georgia players. Brock Bowers mentioned during his little presser that the big games really helped him. And I feel like that's going to help all the big Georgia players as they acclimate to the NFL, knowing that there isn't really a lot of pressure. Hey, I've played in the national championship game. I can play in the NFL. So for each of those guys, definitely see them being able to quickly acclimate themselves in the NFL as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's keep it going with the rest of the formal players. Now, I've put in the chat a list of all of the players that had formal and informal meetings today. Really too many to list here. It would just be a kind of a waste of time. A lot of informal players at cornerback and safety. But again, three formal visits for safeties. We're talking about Tyke Smith, Javon Bullard. The next guy was a Senior Bowl guy, Cole Bishop, right? So no surprise there. Buccaneers like those Senior Bowl players. Cole Bishop really has an interesting skill set when you look at his ability to play in the box. 21 and a half tackles for loss. That's exact same number as Tyke Smith at. He's a bigger guy, though, 6'2", 205. And we've seen Todd Bowles kind of gravitate more towards some bigger corners. We saw Keanu Neal in Tampa a couple years ago. Last year, it was Ryan Neal. So having a bigger guy, 6'2", 205, and 7.5 sacks, blitzing from the box, 3 interceptions, 12 pass breakups, 4 fumble recoveries, and a forced fumble. He's around the ball a lot.
Yeah, and you mentioned 6'2", 205. That's actually the exact height and weight of another safety, Tyler Newbin, the Minnesota Gopher safety. He briefly played with Antoine Winfield Jr. in 2019. Spoke with him today, and he said that Antoine Winfield Jr. definitely set the standard of what it meant to be a Gopher, and it was somebody that he saw every practice watching film and really attacking and showing that intensity. He may not be an option yet for the Bucs, but again, a taller guy, he has a lot of potential.
Yeah. And the Buccaneers typically, as we talked about, have mined the second, third, fourth round for defensive backs. You think Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting, those are second round picks.
Jamel Dean.
Jamel Dean was a third round pick. Jordan Whitehead was a fourth round pick. Mike Edwards was a third round pick. Going back to 2014, Justin Edwards was a second-round pick, another safety. Antoine Winfield Jr. was a second-round pick. Zion McCollum was an early day three pick. So they've really kind of found that sweet spot between typically rounds 2 through 4 to get defensive backs. And I think if maybe that's the reason why they didn't have formal interviews with the Cameron Kinchins, with the Tyler Newbin, is because they have more pressing needs at other positions. But some of these guys, like a Cole Bishop, might be available on day 2 or early day 3. We'll see how they time. This is what Cole Bishop had to say at the podium today.
What was it like talking to Todd Bowles? He's a coach that really knows how to work with safeties and defensive backs.
It was good. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about. They got a lot of good safeties right now. I like watching Winfield a lot. So being able to see that, being able to meet with them was awesome.
What makes Winfield such a great player? I mean, he was first team All-Pro this year.
Shoot, I'd say his versatility.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
He covers, he plays deep, he does a lot of different things. I've seen a lot of clips of him blitzing recently, so you'll see that, so it's pretty cool.
Yep. So that was Cole Bishop from Utah. Those were the three safeties now, the two Georgia guys and Cole Bishop. We already talked about Kamari Lassiter, the Georgia cornerback. There's a couple of other cornerbacks that had formal visits with the Buccaneers. One of these guys, you talk about affiliations with Todd Bowles and the Georgia guys because of his son and because of Brian McClendon. Well, we just got Liam Cohen from the University of Kentucky. Lo and behold, Drew Phillips, the cornerback from Kentucky, whose stock is really rising despite not having any interceptions in his 3 years at Kentucky. He was one of the guys that had a formal interview today.
And when you look at other Kentucky players, it'll be really interesting to see later this week whether Devin Leary, they try to get some insight from him.
The quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, Ray Davis. And it's something to keep an eye on and maybe on the radar for the Bucs is meeting with these Kentucky players, and especially Drew Phillips, another corner. Again, maybe not a day one guy, but somebody that they can add day two, day three, and get more depth at the position.
Not the biggest guy, 5'11", 180 pounds. We'll see where the actual weigh-in numbers are. He might even be closer to 5'10". He's going to be a menace in the nickel, I think. He was a really solid player in the slot, but he also has some experience playing outside. Kind of has perfected the art of the pass breakup, but the no interception scares me a little bit. And the reason I say that is this team – has a thirst for interceptions that needs to be quenched. Jamel Dean, what do you have? One interception last year?
Yep.
Two for Carlton Davis, none for Zion McCollum. They've got to find some corners that can come up with takeaways. I mean, I long for the days where you had a Rondé Barber, you could pencil in 3, 4, 6. You know, he had 10 one year.
Brian Kelly
had 8 in one season. So they really need to find some corners that have some sticky fingers and can pick up some of these passes and prevent touchdowns, but also take the ball away.
Yeah.
Help out the offense with some better field position due to interceptions. And I like Drew Phillips, but that's the one thing that really concerns me, because if you had 3 years to pick off a pass in college and you didn't do it, what's going to make me believe that you can do that in the NFL.
And you talk about a guy like needing to make plays at the next level. One guy that did a little bit at Clemson was Nate Wiggins, someone that the Bucs formally spoke with at the NFL Combine in 2022 and 2023. He recorded a defensive touchdown, which, man, the Bucs could use one of those, a defensive touchdown.
Absolutely.
Because you look at the secondary, as you said, it's kind of like a desert where you're searching for that water, for that interception. And Nate Wiggins, he fits the role, kind of fits the bill, being a 6'2 cornerback, having the NFL size and the capability to play on press man as well as cover three, definitely is an intriguing option. And it's really interesting that the Bucs chose to meet with him because he's a first round talent. Yeah. Could the Bucs maybe target him in the first round? You mentioned earlier about the corners being kind of a day two, day three, and as well as that offensive lineman. But he may be the differentiator in that blueprint.
Yeah, for sure. You have to take the best player available, especially if you're picking a little bit later in the first round. You can't really reach, trade down if none of the guys really fit what you're looking for to get better value and stockpile some picks. But if you have a guy that's considered to be maybe a mid-first rounder and he does slide for whatever reason, maybe other positions started to get a run and he slides down the board. Nate Wiggins is a shutdown cornerback.
Yeah.
He had three interceptions, two pick sixes, as you mentioned, 21 pass breakups and as a two-year starter. So he had his hands on a lot of passes was one of the most amazing plays I saw last year in college football was against North Carolina. And it really wasn't against Drake May. It wasn't an interception per se, but what it was he tracked down their running back, their star Tar Heels running back,
yep,
at the goal line, very similar to what Antoine Winfield Jr. did twice last year, knocking the ball out and forcing a touchback instead of a touchdown, literally 1 inch before he scored. And it was a hustle play where he ran 60 yards and tracked the running back down. I think it was Amarion, their star running back, who's going to be a great running back next year, at the last second. Those are the high-effort hustle plays that you look for. That's an Antoine Winfield Jr. type play.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And another cornerback that the Bucs met with, we don't know if it was formal or informal, but the Auburn connection, DJ James. He met with the Bucs, and he has a lot of college experience. He played from 2019 to 2023, and he talked about today it being a potential blessing to play with Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean with the Bucs. So another guy that could be an option and on the radar.
The interesting thing is Carlton Davis, you know, there might be a situation where he gets moved, perhaps even on draft day. They can save $6 million in cap room, not have to pay him that high base salary, which is over $10 million this year. And the thing with Carlton is when he's healthy and on the field, he's really good. The only problem is he's not on the field a lot because of those injuries they've started to accumulate. He's 27 years old this year, and he doesn't have a lot of interceptions when he's on the field as it is. He had two last year. But maybe he's a player that you trade him while you still can get something for him. He's on the last year of his deal. And you move Zion McCollum into the starting role opposite Jamel Dean. And then you draft a guy like a Nate Wiggins and groom him to be that player that might end up starting opposite Zion. And you move on from Jamel Dean perhaps next year as he advances through his contract. So there is some logic and some reasoning there. If Nate Wiggins is on the board and he's the best player available at 26, you take him.
And if Carlton Davis does get traded, they might look for another physical cornerback and somebody that fits the bill. Talk to him today. Wake Forest cornerback Kalen Carson.
Yeah.
He's probably my favorite cornerback to talk to today because he exudes confidence. He said that he's the stickiest corner in the draft, very versatile, very physical, and has 4 years of film to back it up. When you look at a lot of cornerbacks in the draft, Nate Wiggins, he has 2 years of college experience, but other guys like Quinyon Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, they maybe only had 1 year.
Yep.
Carson's been doing it for four, and he's been going up against great competition. So he sounds like somebody that if the Bucs maybe move on from Davis and they look for that guy that can maybe box on the outside, mm-hmm, he fits the bill.
And a lot of the top upper echelon corners did not get formal interviews with the Buccaneers. Quinyon Mitchell is one of those players, Kool-Aid McKinstry. So that kind of gives you a little bit of insight into if they're going to draft a cornerback, probably going to be like the safeties, that day two spot. Yeah. But maybe Nate Wiggins is one of those players that you make an exception for if he's there. If you're going to make an exception for yourself when it comes to buying or selling a home, well, I'm going to tell you who's exceptional, and that is Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group. That's right. Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, they're the official realtor of Pewter Report. The best thing about them that I can say is, because I've gotten to know Eric, he's a great guy. He's a huge Tampa Bay fan, a huge fan of Pewter Report. So start the conversation there. Talk a little football and then see how Eric can help you either sell your house or find you a house in the Tampa Bay area, in the state of Florida, or anywhere you live. That's right. He's part of the EXP Realty Group. They've got 85,000 agents across the country. It's a huge network. So if you're moving into the state of Florida, Eric can help you on both ends of the transaction, selling your house where you are and finding the house here in the great state of Florida. If you're moving around the state, well, he can certainly help you. He's got both bases covered there. If you do happen to leave the great state of Florida, again, Eric can help you sell your house here, get the most value for your home, and find you that new house somewhere else. Eric is a Tampa native. His father was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base, and he's got all the type of experience that you need in any different situation. Check out the website, housesinfla.com, housesinfla.com, for the full inventory, for their list of open houses, or give Eric a call at 513-907-4271. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you're going to be in great hands with Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
I'm back. And we got a lot of fun stuff coming up on tomorrow's show as well, because we are talking to the entertainment of football. That's right. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. I know there's a certain Kentucky running back that we're all very excited to get in contact with. And so tomorrow's title is, Will the Bucs Draft a Quarterback in 2024? Obviously, there's all these discussions with Baker Mayfield. Can they re-sign him? Can they get him for the right price? What happens to Mike Evans with the Baker Mayfield discussion as well? But it doesn't necessarily rule out the Bucs drafting a quarterback in this year's draft. Remember, Kyle Trask is only under contract for another year, and doesn't really seem like the Bucs have many plans with Kyle Trask. So we could be seeing the Bucs quarterback of the future.
I just had a conversation today with Chris Sims. I know Chris Sims is a bit of a polarizing figure. He's got some different opinions for NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk. But at the same time, he does know the quarterback position, and he was a quarterback here in Tampa. I've got to know Chris while he was here. And so I asked him, I said, Baker Mayfield's going to get re-signed more than likely. What do you do with Kyle Trask? He's entering the final year of his deal. And he says, you look no further than the 49ers just a couple of years ago. It's like, you need to have quality backups because anything can happen. Mm-hmm. You can't have your entire season go down the tubes because you lost your quarterback. And the 49ers, boy, they had a great recovery going from Jimmy G and Trey Lance to all of a sudden Brock Purdy. They made it all the way to the NFC South or the NFC Championship game with Brock Purdy, and then he gets hurt, and they ran out of quarterbacks. So having an extra guy is great. Sims is one of those who believes, and I believe it as well, draft the quarterback to compete with Kyle Trask, and you're going to need a third-string quarterback anyways. Maybe John Wolford becomes that guy like Ryan Griffin, who was on the practice squad. But we'll talk to quarterbacks, wide receivers. The Bucs are going to need another one of those for sure. And running backs tomorrow here at the Combine.
Yeah, should be a really fun time for sure. And in the meantime, make sure you check out all of our social media for the latest information about your favorite team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can find us on X, Threads, Facebook, and Instagram over at Pewter Report. And our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. We got tons of video from the Combine. Much more to come as well, both tonight, tomorrow, and really the rest of the week. So please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Once again, that's Pewter Report TV. And please leave a comment on this video once the video was done. It could be Go Bucs. It could be, hey, I really love the Georgia defensive backs. Really, whatever you want helps with our algorithm and trying to grow our subscribers as much as we possibly can and bring more content to you, the Pewter people.
That's right. We've had a fun time here in Indy so far. It got really cold all of a sudden, but it's heating up over there as we see the 40-yard dash times come in for some of these big defensive linemen, edge rushers, and linebackers today. So stay tuned for more coverage here from Pewter Reports from Indianapolis. We'll be here through Saturday when we talk to interior offensive line, and then we'll recap that particular day's worth of interviews on our Monday podcast. And, of course, next Monday, 4:20, we're going to do roll call. But we have another podcast tomorrow.
Yes, we do, at 4 p.m., a special Friday episode of the Pewter Report podcast. So until then, for Bailey Adams, for Adam Slavon, we'll give a shout-out to Josh Capo as well. He's Scott Reynolds. I'm Matt Matera. Just saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.